Welcome to Roundtable Talk, a podcast about longevity, senior services marketing, and the quality of life as one ages. Roundtable Talk is brought to you by Pavone Group and Varsity, a senior services agency focused on helping clients win the mature market. If you like the fresh perspectives we deliver in each episode, please give Roundtable Talk a 5-star review on the podcast service of your choice.
Today on Roundtable Talk, we're talking about something that impacts nearly every older adult, but doesn't always get the attention it deserves. It's how medications are prescribed, managed, and experienced as we age. Our guests are Dr. Troy Veal, CEO of PhD Laboratory, Lauren Bopp, a molecular biologist with PhD Laboratory, and Kira Deschamps, founder of KD Consulting Group. They're helping bring more awareness to pharmacogenetic, or PGX, testing, a tool that's changing how we think about medications and personalization in care. Dr. Veal, Lauren, and Kira, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you.
How are you doing? Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. I've been looking forward to this. So let's start simple. What is pharmacogenetic, or PGX, testing in plain English?
PGX, some people call it pharmacogenetics. Some call it pharmacogenomics. But the abbreviation for that is PGX, which is a simple cheek swab that captures your DNA to help providers have a more profound answer or a guideline or two of determine what medication best works for a patient, what medication to be cautionary of, and what medication their body would not metabolize.
Interesting. So before we set up this discussion, PGX testing wasn't something that I was familiar with at all. Kira, you actually brought this to our attention. Dr. Veal, why do you think something this impactful is still relatively unknown, especially in senior living?
Because the simple reason is education, medication education. A lot of providers are not aware of this particular new technology or this technology, and a lot of the members or people are not aware that this technology exists. So I think that in terms of educating people, I think more people will start utilizing it.
Sure. So Kira, you mentioned that you hadn't even heard of it before either. What was your first reaction when you did?
I was astounded. It was just one of those things where I got a chance to meet Dr. Veal and his team at their lab and got a chance to, I was introduced to them by another colleague, and he said, oh, you've got to hear about this. And because of my experience with senior living, you know, it was a no-brainer. So it's like, oh, you need to talk to them. And so I'm thinking, okay, I'm going to tour a lab, talk to some people that, you know, do draws and things like that and get to know them. And when I learned about the PGX test, the first thing I said was, why isn't everybody doing this? And it just makes so much sense to, you know, be in charge of my health and learn more about the medications and how, you know, it metabolizes with my own body. And then learning that, of course, Medicare pays for it, I just immediately thought about all of the senior living community industries, and it just kind of took off from there. So I think, you know, we're in an age right now and time of our life where people want to know, and they want to know more about their bodies. They want to take more control over their health and interventions. So, and they're asking lots of questions. So that's why I said, you know what, we got to get this information out there. And I couldn't wait to start introducing them to everybody I know.
That's great. Well, I know you certainly were enthusiastic when we first had our conversation, so appreciate
yes,
that.
Absolutely.
So Dr. Veal, when you explain this to families or providers, what's the aha moment when it clicks?
Well, the biggest aha moment is when families realize symptoms they assume were part of aging may actually be a medication-related situation. And it's like, wow, I didn't know that was out there. So considering that there is technology that can determine this, it's like, why aren't we utilizing it already? So that's the biggest thing. Like, why aren't providers or why aren't nursing homes or nursing facilities utilizing this particular test to help our seniors or residents be on a more profound medication that best works for their chemical makeup, their chemical genetic makeup? Because no medication, or not all medications, work for everyone.
Sure. I think it's just an amazing tool. But, you know, I'm wondering, are any of the concerns that you might hear related to Privacy. I know things like, what is it, Ancestry and 23andMe and some of those things. There's some skepticism, about entering DNA into a database. But this, you can see the very clear, it's not just a curiosity to see where your ancestry might be, but this allows for a much more personalized prescription model, right? So that you know that the medications are going to actually, work with your particular makeup. But is that something that you find any concern with? Not from your perspective, but you're hearing from people?
So for us at PhD, we do not submit any genetic data to third-party companies or submit to any future research projects. We only use the patient's DNA for their test, and then it is discarded. So we do not keep genetic information for an extended period of time. We don't keep their sample for an extended period of time. So you're getting what you signed up for, and that is all.
That's great. So it's not going. Yeah, that's wonderful, because I know that's something that I hear pushback sometimes from the broader, when you're submitting your DNA for whatever the case may be. But that's great. So is this more of a technology awareness problem, or do you think it's a healthcare system problem in that, people are not adopting it perhaps quite as rapidly as what would seem logical?
Yes, both. I think it's a technological problem because people are not aware of it. When the providers or the medical doctors or nurse practitioners or physicians, whomever, when they're doing their studies, this is something that's not a part of their study. That's not a part of their program. So they're not studying this when they're in school. So now the technology is here, and if they did not study this, it's something like, well, I didn't know anything about this when I was in school. Where does this technology come from? So being able to understand that technology is growing, you have AI, you have ChatGPT, you have all these new things and innovative things to help us when we have issues or problems or concerns, we can look it up. Now we have this PGX test. That's something that they could utilize when prescribing medication.
Yeah, and I see on top of that, like Dr. Beal just said, it's something new. So, sometimes we all do this, we get stuck in our routines and this is the way it's always been done. This is our triage process. And then all of a sudden there's a new test or there's a new step in the process that has to be integrated. So sometimes it's very complicated because you're dealing with a whole hospital or provider system and a whole group. And we all know what that looks like when we have to go through all the levels to get approval. But then there's the one-offs and providers who are very integrative and they want to know, hey, how can I truly help, my patient? How can I really find out what's going on? How can I get them from 17 medications down to 3 medications? Because, so then there's them and they seem to be very, receptive, and they're trying to get it through the channel so they can get it approved.
And to add up on that, the science behind PGX is there, right? I think more so when they have their CEUs, when they have to go for their annual, updates of what's going on, this is something that should be a part of their annual studies. So now every year, when new providers come in, this is something that they should hear about or know about. So all they have to do is just invite us, and we could definitely educate them on what PGX is all about.
Sure. And that's a really good point. Is this something that, are you working with medical schools to make sure that this gets into the curriculum so that, some of the, awareness, but perhaps skepticism is allayed, through their education?
Yes, we have been working with, several different national organizations about medication education, bringing awareness to what's going on in the communities today. So yeah, you're exactly right. We are doing that, but we're doing it at our pace. So, it takes a while. In the same sense, we're trying to work in the senior communities where we want to implement it as soon as possible, because we don't want anyone to be misprescribed medication or hospitalized or emergency visits. So we're doing both at the same time.
Sure, sure. Yeah. Interesting. Well, I'll pose this question to Lauren. I know we talked about, some of the skepticism of some of the other tools like, Ancestry.com, et cetera. But I'm interested in your thoughts. When people hear genetic testing, it can sound intimidating or a little futuristic. What's the biggest misconception people have when they first hear genetic testing?
I think with genetic testing, it's still a very new technology. So some people might think that this is a very rare thing, that PGX interactions are rare. What are the odds that I have a mutation? But in reality, I see that most patients have anywhere between 1 to 5 PGX interactions on their report. And it truly does affect everyone because medications are not one size fits all. And that's the thing that we try to emphasize when we are telling people about PGX, that what works for me might not work for you and so on.
Interesting. And that's where I think the brilliance is, because from what I have learned over time is that we all respond differently to the same medication. And it's great when there can be this truly customized. Is the customization, it might be both, but is it on the formulation or is it on the dosage amount?
So it's about the drug selection. And for some medications, there are specific dosing recommendations. So it narrows down what drugs would work best for you. So there's dozens of drugs on the market for cholesterol and mental health. It's picking which one out of that bunch is going to work best for you. So PGX helps it narrow down significantly which options are best. And then with the dosing recommendations, certain drugs can really pinpoint almost to the exact milligram where you should be starting, or should you have half of the recommended starting dose and so forth. So
that's great. So why are medication conversations so complicated in senior living today?
Good question, because of the education, right? You know, if you don't know about it, you wouldn't know what to ask. And it's good that family members are starting to hear about this, so now they can ask the questions. Sometimes when you go see your doctor, it's about what you don't know and what you're afraid to ask. But now, since this test is out here, I wouldn't be afraid to say, "Doc, you put me on this medication. Let me see what my test says." So challenging the providers today is something that is not commonly done, but challenging them now is making sure they do their job, because your life is what they have in their hands. So taking accountability, knowing what works for you, and people always want to know what works for me and what is good for me. And sometimes doctors just provide prescriptions and say, "Look, this is best for you," but really they technically don't know specifically. They actually prescribing to the illness or the symptoms, but they don't know sometimes what they're prescribing may not be the best medication for their chemical makeup or their patient's chemical makeup.
Sure. And I think there's times too where, you know, we all understand that you only get a few minutes with your provider. And by the way, I'm seeing a cardiologist. I'm also seeing my primary care. I'm also seeing the gynecologist. I'm seeing all of these different doctors. And wouldn't it be great if they were all in a room together, you know, working together on your care? That would be wonderful, right? The holistic approach. But they're in their different silos. And so, you know, they may not know that this is what your cardiologist gave to you because they're not seeing the big picture. So this just brings it all together, and you can kind of go and say, "Here's my full report. Here's the overview," and then they get to see, you know, the interactions.
Sure. No, that's fascinating. Now you mentioned family members. How are family members learning about this? And I know from some conversations with physicians I've had, there is a certain degree of frustration with people self-diagnosing via Google or WebMD or whatever the tool might be. So if people are coming in with this, certainly it's important to, as we're already talking about, educate the physicians as much as possible so that when the family members come in, they don't just, kind of roll their eyes or dismiss it because it was just something else that they found on the internet. But talk a little about that. How are you kind of triangulating the physicians and the family members or the individual themselves who might be requiring this?
Go ahead.
good question. So with the senior living population, they have a person, they have a marketing director, they typically have an executive director, they have a director of nursing, and then they have the provider. So when the marketing director is out marketing the service for this particular facility, they should also indicate, "Well, now we have a test that if your loved one coming out of facilities, we can find out what medications best work for your loved one. Being able to identify and express to someone that, that there's an opportunity to leverage medication, because someone may say, well, my mom is on 20 medications or 15 medications. Well, now they can say, we have a medication, or we have technology, or we're working with a laboratory that can help streamline the medications that best work for your loved one. Therefore, it may be an opportunity to reduce the medication that they're on. They may find out if there's some contradiction with the medication that's being prescribed. So now this is something that the nursing homes, the marketing department can have to enhance or be influenced on why should your loved one go into this particular facility.
Yeah, absolutely. And so when we're working with communities from independent living all the way to skilled and memory care, it becomes a marketing tool. It also becomes something when, you know, when they're going through and talking about, you know, resident outcomes, resident engagement, you know, having them ask questions when there are activities that are happening in the communities, you know, they're inviting us to do the lunch and learns, or we get to have, if they're having a family night or some type of, you know, prospect event, we're encouraging them to, you know, let us be a topic of conversation so that, because, you know, if the community or the provider isn't on board to, you know, do the order, they can still go and take the paperwork to their provider and advocate for themselves. And, you know, most providers are not going to say no. They're, okay, you want me to do this test for you? Great, here you go. So we're hitting it on both ends. So that, and then also going to a lot of the networking events, you know, local areas, doing, you know, podcasts and things like that, articles, and just getting in front of those other industry leaders, whether they're home health care agencies, it doesn't matter what type, transportation agencies, we're all in this industry together, and we all have different touch points. So we're making sure that each one of those industry leaders hear about this, so that where they're out and about and they're, oh, wait, I have somebody. Oh, I just found out that this person, it doesn't matter if you're on one medication or 20 medications, it's for anyone, right?
Sure, sure. Interesting. So how much of what we see, fatigue, confusion, falls, et cetera, is actually medication related?
I would say a good portion can be associated back to medication issues if there is a PGX interaction there, because one of the things that the PGX test can tell you is if you cannot metabolize a specific drug. And with that, the confusion, the dizziness, the falls, those can be associated with pain relievers, cardiac medications, those beta blockers that are affecting their blood pressure, and then mental health medications, those SSRIs that can relate back to anxiety, depression. So you're taking this medication and it's building up in your body because you can't get rid of it. Your body can't eliminate it. So then you get these toxic levels of the drug in your body, which cause toxic side effects, that dizziness, that the fainting, the falling, confusion, things like that. And it's all because you're developing too high of a drug concentration that's unhealthy for your body.
Interesting. So families often assume that side effects are just part of aging. How dangerous is that assumption?
I would say that it's pretty dangerous, because if you're dismissing these side effects and they're speaking up for themselves, they're saying, hey, I don't feel right, and you're dismissing it, you could potentially prolong an issue and just push it down the line to the point where it could cause hospitalizations or falls that result in injuries. And it's just better to take everything that they're saying under consideration. And I do feel like a lot of the complaints that some people in the senior space might have might get dismissed by doctors or dismissed by their families, because they do tend to have more health complications as we age.
Sure. No, that's a great point.
Yeah. Yeah.
So this is a question that every guest gets. Let's start with you, Kira. What are you looking forward to as you age?
I'm looking forward to just really living each day to the fullest. You know, I want to be healthy. I want to, you know, spend time with my family. I want to do the things that, you know, I haven't had an opportunity to do. So, you know, I'm looking forward to it. I'm not sure if I'm looking forward to the grays, even though they keep creeping in. One day I think I'll need to fully embrace it. and I'll just make it a part of my brand. But I'm just looking forward to just making the most out of life and the relationships that I have.
That's great. Well, I love that. And I, you know, certainly all of the times that we've interacted, I definitely love your energy. So I can see that coming through. Dr. Veal, what are you looking forward to as you age?
Well, healthcare is moving steadily towards precision medicine and personalized care. So we want to make sure when we're getting age, we want to know what best works for us. Just in case something happened down the line, we want to be aware of all the things and opportunities out there to prevent some of the things. But just in case if something happens, what are the next steps? You know, we enter an era today where treatment decisions will increasingly be informed by genetics, biomarkers, and predictive analytics. So things are always being innovated. Things are changing evolutionary all the time. So being caught up and knowing what's going on would definitely be a plus in healthcare. So as things change, we need to change. Because about 5 or 10 years ago, ChatGPT or AI wasn't there, right? Now we use it very frequently. You know, when I was growing up, they had the radio, then they had the tape player. So things are always changing as we grow, right? So as we grow and as we get older, things is changing. So we want to make sure that we keep up with the new technology that's out there.
Well, that's so important and well said, Dr. Veal. You know, I mean, when you look at AI, just the adoption in the last, you know, few months has been astounding, and it's ever changing. We're constantly having conversations about that and how it's going to impact the way we communicate with each other.
Absolutely.
So great point. So Lauren, what are you looking forward to as you age?
Just being able to relax and spend time with loved ones. And like mentioned, all the different scientific advancements that are going to help us live that happy, healthy life for a long time. And we're kind of on the pioneering edge of that, being able to accept all these different advances that we have. I do think that's very exciting.
Yeah.
That's great. So Dr. Veal, you, we so appreciated the fact that you contributed a 2-part blog series on our website. But one thing I found interesting is that it's not about replacing doctors. So what role does PGX actually play?
Well, it's not about replacing doctors. It's about empowering them, giving them more tools to utilize when they're prescribing medication. Simply, when you go to your physician now, they, you know, if you tell them you have an issue, they're going to prescribe medication based upon the issue or the symptoms that you have. They would not know if that particular medication is the best fit. They'll tell you, well, come back in 30 days or 45 days. Let's see if that medication is working for you. So when you go back, they ask you how the medication, because they really don't know if it's actually working for you. So you are a part of your healthcare system. You are a part of your healthcare. So you have to let the doctor know, say, listen, the medication gave me a headache. It irritated my stomach. I was vomiting. At that point, he's going to say, well, let's change the dosage or either increase the dosage or lower the dosage, because he doesn't know. So about time they figure it out. It could be 6 months. It could be 12 months. It could be 18 months down the line to find out this wasn't even the right medication for you. And now you are really taking this medication and your liver is not metabolizing the medication. If it's not helping you, what is it doing? It's hurting you. By having this test, we'll definitely have to give them a guideline or a roadmap. Say, listen, let me put you on this particular medication because your genetics says this is probably the best one for you. Starting there is a good point.
And it's financially, some medications are financially expensive. So you're even spending money on certain medications and it's like, I shouldn't even have been taking this in the first place. And now I'm out so many dollars.
That's a great point. And, you know, even depending upon your age, what your plan is, the copays could be significant, right? You know,
right.
Even if, you know, depending upon what the medication is that you're being prescribed.
Yeah.
So can you
I love when a doctor comes in and they tell me about a medication or they tell me something about what's going on. And then they go back to, they tell me a little bit about the research. They'll say, oh, you know, this is a new one. It's only been out for about 3 years, but they've done this type of study. It just tells me a lot about that physician. It tells me that they're studying, they're looking at the research, they're paying attention, and they're not just saying, here, take it. So being able to have those types of conversations with your providers, I think, is very important.
That's very true. And to your to the point of this conversation, we're definitely they'll be more and more empowered in you know, being able to have informed conversations.
Absolutely.
So can you give an example where PGX testing led to a different or better outcome?
They have, I know Lauren has a story.
Share one, please.
Yeah. So in specific to my mother, she was taking this medication and it was not the right medication for her, but we did not know that at the time. She was having a lot of issues with side effects and GI upset, ended up going to the doctor because it ended up causing damage to her liver because she was building up to those toxic levels. So she was having signs of early liver failure, even though she's otherwise a healthy individual. So she did a PGX test after the fact, but she found out that that medication was not going to work for her. And she brought that information to her doctors. They were able to change it. But if she had it to start, then she wouldn't have spent a year and a half taking the wrong medication, not feeling any relief, and then ultimately having to go to the hospital because of complications. So that's kind of my personal story with PGX.
Sure. Amazing that it hits so close to home.
Yeah, absolutely.
So we've talked a lot about how medication management today is often reactive, adjusting the issues after they show up. Why is shifting to a more proactive approach such a big deal in this space?
Well, shifting to a proactive approach is the best practice model, but insurance don't want to work that way. Providers don't want to work that way. They work, you know, reactive after something happens. They want to do something after the fact. But being proactive is not what the insurance companies like. So in order to get a PGX test, in order for a provider to sign the order, something has to happen first before they say, this is the test I recommend. But if all of us had this test in the beginning, they would have to go that. So the system itself is kind of backwards, you know, because of how, you know, the system is set up. But being proactive and knowing things ahead of time, you can adjust a game plan. Most football teams have a game plan before they go into their next game. They are looking for what the opponent is going to do, so they prepare for that. This opportunity in healthcare system is opposite. Something has to happen first before they react. So being proactive is something that we wish that we could change, but the way the insurance company pays and where the healthcare system is, I don't know if we can be able to do that.
That's a great point. You know, interesting insights. But Kira, you have some thoughts on this or some insights into this, right? For senior living operators, how does this improve trust with families?
It lets the family, it sends the messaging. I mean, I'm always about when I talk with the senior living communities and operators, you know, what is, and I say this all the time, I know, what is your brand? What is your messaging? What is it that you're saying to families? Because this is one of the top, you know, three most stressful events in a family's life next to divorce and death, moving and having to make these life decisions. And so being an adult daughter, my mom's, you know, 84 now, you know, someone coming in and saying, I need somebody that's going to be able to take care of my mom. I need somebody that's going to be able to pay attention to her side effects and medication. And are they just giving her stuff just to, you know, give it to her? It's really that peace of mind that you want to be able to position your community and you know, in your level of care. And so, and it also has a lot to do with retention. You know, we want to, when we look at the business side of senior living, you know, resident engagement, retention, you know, less hospitalizations, all of those things matter. It matters to the bottom line as well. So why not start in the very beginning? It's more than, you know, a manicured community, having the best colors, all of those things matter as well. But we also want somebody to have a healthy, happy life, you know, as they start to make this decision. And then their families have a sense of a peace of mind as their families are being taken care of.
That's huge. That's huge. So Kira, you also mentioned in our conversations before we got on today that getting providers on board is a challenge. Why do you think that is?
Respectfully, providers have a lot. to do. There are a lot of demands. I respect the industry. I respect the field. I am not a provider at all. And there are so many demands of them as far as how many patients they have to see, you know, in a day, how many people, you know, what's the timing. There's just so many regulations and things like that around them. So I think the biggest time is getting their attention, getting their time, even if you're walking with them down the hallway. Hey, I just got 10, can I just get 5 minutes with you? And we have to also, and we understand as a team that they're also being hit with so many other people that want their attention, right? Drug reps, you've got all kinds of things. So it's really being able to speak their language and help them understand in a way that will catch their attention. You know, patient outcomes, value-based care, you know, what are the star ratings? You know, what are the reimbursements? You know, being able to say keywords like that to certain providers are like, wait, okay, tell me more, you know? So being able to, and then, you know, the introductions, we've asked everybody that we run into in the senior living industry. And just so you all know, this test is for everybody. It's not just for seniors. We're just talking about senior living right now. But we let everybody know, talk to your providers, get us an introduction. We would love to hop on a call. Can we come? And so that's really helped out too, because we've been able to get in front of a lot of people by just educating the person to talk to the next person. So those warm welcomes are huge.
That's great. So we've been talking about families. We've been talking about the residents or the older adults themselves. We've talked about the physicians. Are you also reaching out to the pharmacists and the pharmacy, you know, organizations, or the medication organizations themselves, like the Eli Lillys of the world, et cetera. Do they see the benefit in this, or are they skeptical because it could steer the doctor away from some of their particular meds?
I think you can speak to functional pharmacists probably too.
So for pharmacists, I know that they're definitely more aware of this than prescribers may be, because their entire job is to review meds and determine where there's interactions. And truly, community pharmacists, that is the first healthcare professional that a patient is going to contact when they have a problem. If they feel like they're having side effects or they're complaining about whatever medication regimen they may be on, the pharmacist is most likely the first one to hear about it. And so reaching out to pharmacists, trying to establish connections with pharmacies would really help get us out there as well. And they have a lot of influence over the patient. And then the patient could go to their provider and then follow the protocol that we have discussed previously.
Sure, sure. How about the drug companies?
So drug companies, we don't have any connection with them at the moment. But with drug companies, they want to fill as many medications as they can. And that is important to them. But at the end of the day, we have to remember, as a healthcare community, we are supposed to provide the best care for our patients and our loved ones. And that is what matters the most. But as far as pharmaceutical companies, that's kind of a bigger beast to tackle there.
Sure. No, and unfortunately, I can see where, you know, that might seem like it's, you know, competing objectives. Although to the point you just made, Lauren, hopefully everybody wants, you know, I'm not sure if the Hippocratic Oath applies here, but just, you know, doing the best for the people who are going to be receiving that. But
yeah,
I realize there might be competing motivations, sadly, you know, in certain sectors.
Yeah.
So you'd think that
we're telling people not to take medications.
Oh, of course.
We're saying we want them, if they're going to be prescribed medications, making sure it's the right medication for them. So it's not anti, you know, prescriptions and it's none of that. So it's, hey, there's a test here that could really, you can help you cut through the red tape and get right down to your care.
Sure, sure. I guess the problem in the scenario in there could be that it might steer you to a different med, you know, away from the one that the pharmaceutical company would be hoping to have prescribed. But no, I hear you loud and clear, Kira, that it's not simply, you know, saying, you know, to wean off or stop taking, you know, pharmaceuticals altogether. But So you'd think with Medicare Part B covering it, adoption would be much easier. So what's slowing it down?
Medication Part B. So Medicare has it right, right? Medication, Medicare, Palmetto, you know, they have it right. So they study this. So they have the CPT codes that cover the most comprehensive tests out there. And some labs have that test. And the other insurances are private insurances or different insurances. So you got to remember, Medicare is a national funded federal program. So once a company gets accredited through Medicare, then they can go in all 50 states. But when you're working with different carriers, you have to apply to get a network per state. So that's why we feel like, you know, working with seniors is plus, you know, we have people in our families that's in some of these facilities. We want to definitely work with them. So Medicare got it right. And now it's just taking some time for the other carriers to get on board. And we don't know exactly what it's going to take. But as long as we out here doing medication education and trying to influence or speak to these carriers out there, then I think down the line, they would get more knowledge about, you know, comprehensive PGX testing, because it is out there. But some laboratories are limited on what they test for. But there are some laboratories that are more direct, more comprehensive, and cover more things. There are, you know, laboratories out there that they can identify, because there's over 200 medications that has a drug gene interaction. So some of the major medications that seniors are taking today are the most medications that's being prescribed, and limited to a certain laboratory just doing a limited amount of testing is that it doesn't really cover the whole scope of the person. So having a holistic test that covers everything that's out there that I think is more comprehensive is a better fit for seniors or persons or people who are out there looking to find out what medication best works for them.
Mm-hmm. And then people who don't have Medicare can pay, you know, HSA, use their HSA, use their FSA, or just pay directly to get the test. And it's a one-time test, because our genes don't change.
Interesting. So does the one-time test cover any of the meds, any of the applications? I guess it would.
Yeah. So our test covers multiple different specialties. So even if PGX sparks your interest because you're interested in what mental health medication will work best for you, you don't know if down the line you might have high cholesterol or high blood pressure or anything like that that might need to be addressed. But if you do, you already have this information that you can go into that scenario with the best education of what medication will work best for you.
Sure, sure. So that goes into, I guess, your medical record that that will kind of follow you around?
Yes.
Yeah. Gotcha. I uploaded. Mine, because I obviously wanted to try it for myself, uploaded mine into my chart, you know, for my medical records so that my doctors can see it. In the fall, unfortunately, my husband had a bout of AFib. We've never dealt with that before. And he's never had problems in, you know, medical problems. And then here we are seeing a cardiologist where he had already taken the PGX test. And so I told him, I was like, hey, you know, we need to make sure your cardiologist has a copy of this as well. And then when they started, you know, we've started on foreign medications that he had never had to deal with because of AFib. That was all new. And so we wanted to make sure it's like, hey, while we have this test, make sure your cardiologist sees. And so it all worked out great, but it just becomes this tool that you have and you've already taken the test. And so now you upload it into your chart. You keep a copy, of course, whatever doctor provided that ordered it, they have a copy in your records too. But you do have to take it to you want to make sure each one of your specialties has it, because they don't, again, everybody doesn't talk across specialties. So you want to make sure you have that information.
Thank you for sharing that. So what does it take to actually implement PGX in the senior living community?
It takes a total buy-in. I think what's worked for us so far has been that person, whether it's the sales and marketing, you know, talking to the provider, getting us a meeting, or whether it's someone who says, hey, my mom's in senior living, she's at a community, I'm going to take this to the provider so that she can get it. So there's all of these avenues that we've been able to, you know, kind of permeate the communities, and just getting in there and getting us an opportunity to get in front of people. And sometimes when you get that pilot or you get that one community or that one person, then you see their results and we like to follow it. So we're really about the full, like from beginning to end. We don't want to just do a test and say, okay, thank you. We really want to follow up with that community or follow up with that provider and say, all right, out of the 15, you know, people, were there any, you know, interactions? Did you make any adjustments? They don't have to tell us, of course, you know, HIPAA, they don't have to tell us the details, but they could say, yeah, out of the 10, we had 5, we adjusted their medications and we saw their, you know, their quality of life, you know, improve, or it doesn't matter. We're here for the long haul. We're here for, you know, that total patient care. And so we want to be able to follow it because, you know, that of course makes a stronger case, but it's great testimonies for a community. You know, it's wonderful. They're able to say, hey, when we did the intake admissions, Miss So-and-so was on this many medications, but because of this, here's her outcomes. And this is what's happening with her today. So that's what we want.
Sure. Sure. Makes sense. So I'm curious, before we get to our last question, you know, this feels, you know, really, you know, innovative, futuristic, you know, that sort of thing. What's next? You know, I mean, clearly you've been working on this for quite some time and mastering this, but what can we look forward to in the future of healthcare? If, you know, if you had a crystal ball, just curious to get your perspectives, if there are, you know, some, whether it's, you know, expanding the application of this or something else, but what do you think is next in terms of the ability to have us age well, you know, using, you know, some of these advances similar to this?
So for PGX, it, like we've been talking about, it gives you a lot of information to help you age very well to the point where you are going to have the best care. So PGX is equipping you with the knowledge that you need. And I would like to see it treated as if it's almost like an allergy. So PGX interactions are not anaphylactic reactions like you would get with penicillin. But if you're allergic to penicillin, your doctor's not going to prescribe you penicillin. So kind of treating PGX interactions like that, if you're going to have side effects or you're not going to respond to this medication, then why would your doctor prescribe it? So just helping integrate that into a healthcare setting and the electronic medical records, that would be the future of PGX, just full integration. So that way, we're not only having this knowledge, we're able to apply the knowledge.
Yeah. Sure. Sure. So last question, what have you learned that you wish you could have told your younger self? Kira, why don't you go first?
My younger self has never had a problem questioning authority. never had a problem asking the questions why, but my younger self, I would just say, stay the course, stay steady. Keep asking the questions, keep speaking up, and keep showing up for not only myself, but showing up for others.
That's great. Lauren, what have you learned that you wish you could have told your younger self?
I would tell my younger self to stay driven, and it can be kind of discouraging going through schooling and everything. Things get tough, but knowing that these are the outcomes and the lives that you're able to affect by pursuing degrees in science, you're really helping shape the future of healthcare. So.
That's great. And finally, Dr. Veal, what have you learned that you wish you could have told your younger self?
Well, to piggyback off Lauren, her younger self, when she started college around 17, 18, she started in the field. So she started early. So I guess she supposedly spoke to herself when she was around 12. That's when she got to college. She said, you know what? I'm going to study pharmacology because it's going to be advancing in the future. What I tell my younger self is to stay curious, right? And never stop questioning how healthcare can be improved, because healthcare can improve as long as the technology and science out there. So as the science improves, technology improves, life improves. So just listening and staying above the technology and what's out there, always learning, always, you know, researching and trying to stay on top of things. I think that's the most innovative thing. If I could tell my younger self about PGX, I don't think it would have existed when I was younger, because I've been around for some time now. So I've been around a lot longer than PGX. But now that I know that it's here to stay, because PGX and your genes do not change. So this is something that's, like I said earlier, is innovative. And I'm also excited about it because we get an opportunity to change lives, save lives, extend lives for this technology that's out there.
That's terrific. Well, this has been just a real pleasure today. We've been speaking with Dr. Troy Veal, CEO of PhD Laboratory, Lauren Bopp, molecular biologist, also with PhD Laboratory, and Kira Deschamps with KD Consulting. Thank you so much for the time that you spent with us today. It's been really a lot of fun and very enlightening.
Thank you for having us.
Absolutely. Well, I'm Derek Dunham with Varsity's Roundtable Talk, and I'd also like to thank Dave Schaffner, our producer, and Matt Campbell, our engineer. We'll see you next time.